Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.
Practical spirituality. Positive messages. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with your host, Reverend Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to today's show on World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Fort Worth in Texas. The study that we're going to look at today is devoted to the mystic path. And I interview someone who has sought the path of direct experience leading to awareness and self-realization. He is Dr. Gabriel Cousins. He's a man of many parts and who has taken many paths, actually, in his lifetime to one cosmic truth. He's a holistic and homeopathic doctor, a liberated yogi who has studied with Swami Muktananda, a humanitarian, a rabbi, a Native American sun dancer, an Ayurvedic doctor and Kundalini teacher. He's been involved with holistic integrative medicine for many years and is the founder and director of the Tree of Life Foundation and Center, which is based in Arizona and Israel. He's the author of 13 books, and his latest one is his spiritual autobiography, and it's the subject of today's talk and discussion. It's called Into the Nothing. And so we'll have nothing and everything to talk about as a result. So it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Gabriel Cousins to today's show. Glad you're with us.
Well, thank you, Paul. I'm very pleased to be with you. So, great. What I'd like to do when I start is give a little prayer of merging the heavens and earth and the heart and mind, because the path really includes both. So if I could, it takes about 15 seconds, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Shemikud Kudashabrihu Ushinate Bi Ilu Er Imulaiha Shemiki Pilovke Biudashlam Shem Kozrael Kolam Amen. Now, for the listeners, just to feel the merging of the heart and the mind into that oneness. Okay, great.
All right, thank you, God. Play. So everything leads the way to self-realization, doesn't it? There's everything is grist for the mill, if you like, right? There's no such thing as, well, I got to overcome something in order to realize something. You can use everything as long as you understand it, its right relation. It helps you.
That is exactly correct. Events happen, and one of the points in my book is simply all life's experience can be used to help us awaken spiritually. There's no poor me in the program. There's only, thank you, God, whatever God does is for the best, and I just need to see that piece in it and be elevated by it.
Which is a wonderful idea, isn't it? Because so often we live in, let's put it this way, you know, many religions separate and divide rather than bring us together, which is really the opposite of what true spirituality is about, right? And I like to think there's a mystic core, you know, beneath the surface of all religions, but some of us never get to that because we're influenced by the dogma of the religion, and we don't get to the essence of it.
I couldn't agree more. And in my book, Into the Nothing, you see me exploring really three major spiritual or religious paths, and it comes up with the same answer.
Right.
It's only God.
So let's talk about the first one, which is your involvement with Hinduism and especially with Swami Muktananda, right? Who was an influential
yes.
Swami and guru back in the 60s and 70s, early 80s, and had some ashrams over here in the States as well as in India. And he talked a lot about Shaktipat, you know, this idea of laying on of hands or the laying on of energy, right? The disseminating of energy from one person to another. So you talk about Muktananda.
So there's two principles you brought up. Both are very important. Muktananda, for me, in my book, I had many deaths of, you know, and I had a near death at 1 year old when I had TB. So I was always searching for the meaning of death. And when I met him in 1975, he did give me Shaktipat, which I'm going to explain in a minute. And it brought me into the nothing. And then as I came down, a little voice rang out and said, "There is no death for the self. There is, the self cannot be reborn or die. It's immortal." And that answered the question. I mean, it's not just words. It's a direct experience.
Right.
Now, the other thing that you know, it was a direct knowing that happened at that point after a 33-year search. Now, the other point is about the awakening energy. And I have studied this in a variety of ways and actually help people if they get imbalanced with it. So we have terms called Kundalini in the Torah approach. We call it the Ruach HaKodesh. In the Christian tradition, we call it the Holy Spirit. And they're all about awakening the energy that makes you more susceptible to the divine and gives you a more direct experience of the divine. So I think it's important to understand. Oh, and it also, in the Torah, Moses looks at Yehoshua, and the energy goes into him. And that's his initiation for passing on the lineage. So it's a lineage initiation as well. So in those days, it wasn't thousands of people having that energy awakened, but it was usually passed from master to student. And obviously, Yehoshua was his main student, and he passed the energy on to him. And it's in Deuteronomy 39:4. So it is really true in all the traditions. And we look at Jesus and the disciples, and slaves fire above their head at a certain point. If you know, you recall what I'm saying. So it's common to all the traditions. It's the awakening of the deep inner spiritual energy. So that gives you a more broader perspective. Again, I come from the different traditions, so I have kind of more direct experience in the different ways that people talk about it and experience it.
Well, and the laying on of hands is being, you know, practiced by, you know, many people, right, throughout the history of religion. And in recent times, there was the thing called the oneness blessing. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it became very popular in some circles, and almost as if it was a new idea, this idea of laying on of hands, you know. And I thought, well, this has been practiced for thousands of years, and certainly it's not new, but I guess it's new to, you know, whenever you approach it, if you've never come across it before, it's new to you, right? So, but this dissemination of energy is...
Another, Yeah, there's another piece to it, which is not, it's really by look. Like, I have been commissioned by Muktananda to do this, but now with all the different things going on, you can actually give that transmission over the internet by look, by your eyes, by touch, as we just mentioned, laying on of hands, and also by sound. Now, do you remember Catherine Coleman?
Yes.
Okay, well, she used to gather like football stadiums worth of people. She didn't touch everybody, but everyone was touched by her energy, and many people had the awakening of the Holy Spirit. So it's an energy transmission. It's probably the, you know, makes it a clear definition. And she had tremendous energy that she transmitted to people. Through her energy, she couldn't lay on her hands on hundreds of thousands of people.
Well, that's an interesting subject, so too. I was going to say that's an interesting subject.
Yes, it is. And truly, I was first exposed to it through watching and hearing Catherine Coleman, who's like, wow, this is very special.
What I was going to say was there's a difference between charisma and energy, right? Because you can get a lot of people who have a charismatic energy around them, but it's not necessarily the purest or highest form, right? I've seen a number of people who, you know, can mesmerize people, but it's not always done in the purest way. I think some of the televangelists, for instance, are very highly charismatic people, but they're not always teaching a unitive message. It's more divisive message, dualistic message. So, yeah, you got to be careful with charisma, right?
I think that's an excellent distinction. I completely agree with you. There is the abuse of charisma, and charisma is not the same thing as this spiritually awakening energy.
Right.
And it has certain characteristics that also happen with that. So... yes, and so people.
I know. You're really, also interested
in not get it. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I know you're also interested in, you know, the energies of the earth as well, and getting back to nature. And you've done a lot of work in your various foundations that you have, you know, around that, right? Connecting to earth energy, and of course you've been involved with Native American spiritualities that are they're very connected to the universe and to the natural order of things.
Yes. I have done, I've developed a way to heal diabetes naturally, type 2 diabetes. And in that process, I began taking it to different places around the world, 5 different countries in Africa.
Wow.
And I saw they didn't really have good food sources. So we began programs to get people to get into gardening. I mean, it's really good for teenagers, too. We do that in Mexico, too. It's like, okay, the teenagers get involved. They have a career. It's really, really good. And so we have people growing their own organic food for the community. And in Cameroon, we have over 25 different organic farms. So it's exciting because it's expanding. In Liberia, there's different farms. Ghana. So we have, but the point is, people need to grow their own organic food, which you do need for the healing of diabetes. And so that just activates the whole relationship with the earth in a different way. I've been involved with gardening since the early 70s, using a variety of special gardening techniques and so forth, and then just spreading that teaching around the world, because people, it's very important. People start growing their own food, and it's fresh, and it's got all the nutrients. But I'm going to suggest organic is what I'm saying. So that's what we're doing. We have five or six farms in Mexico. Now, they're not my farms. We inspire people to do their own, and we get what we call kind of a starter loans for people, you know, and then they get very productive. So it's really, really a positive thing. Feeding self-esteem as well as feeding the people.
That's wonderful, wonderful work. So how does that fit into into nothingness?
Well, that's a really good question. So, because to get to that, we start, we does involve prayer and meditation. And I'll tell you a funny but very important story, which makes the point. So I was in Owerri, which is Nigeria, and I was working. We're doing different things about the diabetes, and I noticed that many of the there were Stars of David all over the place. And I asked. I was working, staying actually at the local king's home, and he said, "Well, we're actually one of the lost tribes." Oh well, that was quite interesting. Ibo, IBO was the name, and I said, "Okay, so let's have a meditation." So he got, and they don't hadn't been trained to meditate, so they gathered. He gathered his 13 tribes, and we had a special Shabbat ceremony and the awakening. Because I give the touch of the awakening of the spiritual energy, which we call the Ruach HaKodesh, what people call Kundalini, and so that energy turns into meditation and turns into people having very deep experiences. The king's father was 111 years old, and 3 days later, when I was about to leave, he was still flying high with the spiritual experience. So it can move in that direction. And actually, in most places where I teach, it evolves often into meditation and being able to go into the nothing. Now, into the nothing doesn't just happen right away, but it can. But for me, it was, and that was never a goal, but it was years of meditating, 6 hours a day, praying 4.5 hours a day, like at one point 7 years straight of doing that. And it naturally begins to happen that your body actually dissolves. In yoga, we have a term for it, a technical term, but pratyahara. But they're just different stages where you go beyond the body and your senses disappear. I actually tested myself on this in my book. I write about it in Into the Nothing. Because I had a hernia, and I convinced the doctor to let me try to do it without anesthetic, just with meditation. And it was very successful. I actually didn't feel anything. So we can, under different circumstances, be able through meditation to go beyond the senses into ultimately the nothing. But it's usually through meditation to start with. And then later
right.
It becomes part of your beingness. So those are two little stories that fit the
question. That's very, very fascinating. I don't know if want to encourage people to do that yet. I think you have to be very, practiced in that before you do something without the anesthetic.
Yeah.
But, it shows you what you can do.
I think that's right. I was just testing myself, to tell you the truth. Nobody
right.
ever suggested to do that, but I thought, well, let's try it and see what happens.
Yeah, very good. Well, we hear these stories of you know, meditators in India, yogis or whatever, or people in Tibet, you know, who can do amazing things, have a control over their bodies, you know, through meditation practice, whatnot, absorption into this nothingness that we're talking about. And yeah, it's very interesting stuff. So bottom line is the human being is just as every living creature, right? Are beings of infinite possibility. So we limit ourselves only by what we think we can do, right? You've showed that in your life with all the practices that you've involved in and pushed it to the limit, if you like.
Yeah, I tend to want to push to the limit. That's my style. I'm having a good time with it, you know, and that's the important thing, is that spiritual joy is a very important thing, and it helps you connect with God. We don't, in the Torah tradition, we don't connect to sadness. In fact, it's taught that depression kind of separates you from God. And that's the story of Jacob. You know, when Joseph, he thought he had lost him, he was depressed for 22 years. It's like, wow, separated from God. But the minute he heard that his son was alive, he reconnected to God, reconnected to its spirit. So spiritual joy is an extremely important part of that connection, whereas depression separates you out. So the idea of spiritual joy is very significant for people to create. And when we meditate and we pray, if we have the right attitude about it, it really can take us into higher levels of spiritual joy and into oneness. But it's knowing God through joy.
Right.
It's part of the path.
And some people think, you know, that that's kind of a cheap grace or something, a cop-out, you know, with life's hard, you know, easy for you to tell me to be joyful or whatever. But what you're talking about is not just happiness. It's that deep sense of being connected to this you know, this wonder, right? It's all within us and around us, and can't help but feel that exuberant joy when you have that connection.
That you're absolutely correct. It isn't just being a little happy because it's your birthday party. It's a deep spiritual joy of having that connection with God.
Folks, I'm with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. We're talking about his book, Into the Nothing. And we're going to take a little break, listen to these messages from Unity. When we come back, I'm going to ask an interesting question about free will. Join us then.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
We now return to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
All right, welcome back to today's show. I'm with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. We're talking about his book, Into the Nothing, which is his spiritual autobiography. And there's a statement in the book that says this: free will is an illusion, but we have a choice. So let's look at that apparently contradictory or paradoxical statement and see what Dr. Gabriel means by that. So free will is an illusion, but we do have a choice. So tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a fun statement, the paradox. Well, in the Torah tradition, there's five levels of soul, okay? And at the upper levels, we are just aligned with the divine will, and so there's no choice. At the lower level of soul, we call the nefesh, which involves the body level of soul, we have to have choice as part of our spiritual evolution. So if you didn't have choice, you couldn't grow spiritually. So we have a choice of how we respond to a situation. If I were to say this as a metaphor, God chooses the movie theater, that's called destiny, and we get to choose the movie. Are we going to have a melodrama? Are we going to have a spiritual movie? Are we going to have a violent movie? We get to choose the movie. So that's where the free choice is things happen. How we respond to what's happening is where we're making the free will choice. That's one level. Second level is that things happen. We have to make choices that are either positive or negative. And that's part of our spiritual evolution. Are we ready to make that positive choice? And so those are things. So Sitting Bull, who's part of my Lakota tradition, actually had the way he explained it, because this is common in all the traditions, is that we have two wolves. We have the good wolf and the bad wolf. And the good wolf is telling us certain things. The bad wolf is telling us certain things. And our growth spiritually depends on which wolf we listen to. To put it in a nice way. And so we do have choice on this physical plane, and that determines how we grow spiritually. But the higher planes, there's no choice. There's no free will. Because we're much more hardwired into the will of God.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, I like to think of it as an infinite matrix, you know, that there's no time. There's the present, the past, the future all together in this great, whatever you want to call it, you know. But every moment, every movement you make influences the next moment. So there's choice in that regard. But it's already here, you know. The pathway is already predetermined in a way. But the tread can be different depending on the choices we make. So I think it's a similar idea to what you're saying. But I think it was Ramana.
Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it was Ramana.
So destiny is in the bigger picture is given is we don't have a choice. It's more fixed. But how we respond to our destiny is the key. And one of the messages in my book, well, look, you know, hey, I had TB when I was one. I survived it, but, you know, I didn't make a big point of it in my life, okay? I had different injuries. I had brain surgery with blood, you know, blood vessels bursting. It's like, okay, am I going to take this for an opportunity to grow spiritually, or am I going to go into poor me? Life is hard. And those choices are what help us grow spiritually or not. So my guide to the choices is whatever God does is for the best. And it's my responsibility to figure out how to make this for the best in my life. That's the key. And that's where the free will is.
I was going to say Ramakrishna, the great 19th century teacher and guru, said that the grace of the Lord is always blowing, but we have to raise our sails to appreciate it. And I always liked that idea, you know, the like you said, when you're at that higher level and you're living in grace, then there's no choice. You're just flowing across the waters. But as you learn to, unfurl your sails, then there seems to be a lot of choices to make. You know, how you tack or jibe to get into the wind, etc. In order to be in alignment with that grace. So, it's a conundrum, isn't it? But it seems to me that most things on planet Earth are kind of paradoxes or conundrums, right?
That's the way I see it. And then we have the choice to turn it into an opportunity for spiritual growth. So one of the big messages is whatever happens to us, this is the message in my book, and I'm an example for that, I always would choose to turn it into an opportunity for spiritual growth. Rather than poor me, or I'm oppressed, or bad things happen to me. No, it's all for my spiritual growth, and it's a gift from God. So the world is as we see it, the world is as we perceive it to be, and I think that's the key here.
And the thing is, our human consciousness, the discursive mind, if you like, wants the answer, right? It wants to know with certainty, and there is no certainty in that sense. I think it was Roger Thiel, who's a religious science minister, said there is no certainty, in life, but there is surety. You could trust it. You can't be certain of a definite outcome for any one thing or other. There has to be a trusting. I guess that's what people mean when they say go out on faith, right? You have to trust in the process that it's going to be. We live in a beneficent universe, ultimately.
Well, as I say, the only thing that's certain is the uncertainty.
Right.
The paradox. The issue of faith is very important, and I define it in my book in a particular way, and which is faith in the truth. And the truth is, there's only God. Make it real simple. It's not theocratic. It's like, I define faith as having faith in the truth, and the truth is, there's only God. It's a way of thinking about it. It's a way of seeing and experiencing your life.
Right. Which is all about surrendering, isn't it, of the things we think we are, right? Entering that nothingness. There's another lovely quote I absolutely love from Karlu Rinpoche, who said, when you realize you're nothing, then you become everything. And so why would you swap a little sense of human self, for the all that there is God, right? You can't get to the all until you're willing to go through the nothing. So nothing and everything are really closely allied together. I know that sounds abstruse or whatever, but I think it's the absolute nature of any given day, right?
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And nothing and everything are really, in essence, one. Because
right.
When you know the everything, you know ultimately the nothing, because everything is nothing. It's just the way it really is.
Well, I got a professor friend of mine who said to me, yeah, it seems like you're a fullness guy. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm an emptiness guy. and I said, but really it's all the same thing. But, he approaches God through the emptiness. And some people approach God through all the various qualities of God, right? But ultimately, it's like we said, it's the same thing. It's the different ways the openness of God expresses, right? The different facets of the diamond, I guess.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. In India, what Muktananda taught in the ashram is niti niti, the Vedic approach, which is nothing. And yes, yes, which is Kashmir Shavasan. Everything is real and is the expression of God. So we had, in one hand, your left hand, you had niti niti, jnana yoga, nothing is real. On the other hand, you have everything is real as a reflection of God. And the beauty about the paradox is that it doesn't fix you in only one way of perceiving the world. You have that option, and then it's far richer in that way. You don't have to say nothing, nothing, or everything, everything. It's both. So it's a playing again with the paradox. And
right.
Depending on the situation, you bring one view in or the other view in as the predominant view. So because we don't have to be stuck in only one way of perceiving.
Oh, I would say that ultimately it's probably nothing. Because the various qualities point to something, whereas nothing doesn't point to anything. It just is, you know. And so ultimately, I think it's the emptiness. But the emptiness that contains everything. So, you know, we can quibble over philosophical. I'm interested in. I don't want to miss out on the rest of the show here with this abstruse discussion. But you have some fascinating things you call the six foundations and the sevenfold peace. Let's talk about that because I thought those were fascinating aspects of the book.
So, okay, thank you. What I did with that is I wanted to give people a way to quiet the mind, to transcend the mind. And a lot of people don't want formal religion, so I created these kind of non-sectarian ways of being. So the first of the six foundations is two pieces. One is spiritual nutrition, which is how to eat in a way to become a superconductor of the divine. And I make a point, strong point, which is really my first book in 1986, is that a plant-based diet, 100% plant-based and at least 80% uncooked food, is a foundational energy for helping you be that superconductor. I discovered in working with people, actually, as a physician, that meat, fish, chicken, and dairy tend to clog the movement of the spiritual energy, particularly of the kundalini. So that's one thing. The second thing is spiritual fasting. I use juice fast. So, and people often do very well with that, as we know in pretty much all the traditions, except maybe one, Jesus fasted and, Moses fasted and a certain amount of fasting in India. So, okay, that's one. The second foundation is the movement of the prana, the expansion of the prana with Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, sacred dance, whatever works for people, but you want to expand your life force energy. The third is service and charity, and I shared a little bit of the service and charity that I do, and actually been doing since I was like a teenager. When I was living in Chicago, I worked with gangs on the south side of Chicago, black gangs, and that was the time of the Blackstone Rangers, and I worked with a smaller gang. I go down at night after work at the university. So service and charity, it helps our hearts expand to connect with many people, different people. Okay. The fourth, if people are ready, is to work with some form of spiritual teacher. Almost everybody needs some direct guidance. Because we're all beginners at some point, and you need that collective support so you don't get lost along the way. The fifth is meditating and saying the name of God. And the sixth is as much awakening of the spiritual energy as possible. So those are the six foundations, and when people I call being lived by them, they're not techniques, they're a way of life. It can profoundly quiet your mind and help you transcend the mind into the nothing. Now, the sevenfold peace overlaps that, but it brings in a few other factors. So it has peace with the body, which I covered, peace with the mind, meditation, and then peace with the family. So that takes us into the whole area of intimacy, sacred relationship. And these are things I discuss in a lot of detail in the book. I'm also a family therapist, couple therapist. And the process of intimacy, the process of marriage, actually, is a spiritual path in many traditions because it forces you to look at your family of origin issues, your whole way of life, all your programs. If you're in a healthy relationship, you get to look at everything. Not always it's so comfortable, but intimacy is part of that. It's also a practice to know God, because in a sacred relationship, we have to take that risk to jump into the unknown, which is exactly what we have to do to develop that relationship with God. It's not for safety or security at the higher levels. Now, the next is peace with the community. Now, we can see there's a lot of chaos today. And peace with the community means, how do we get in the right relationship with the community in a way that we're at peace? And you can see that's a major challenge in today's world. And then peace with all cultures. Now, from a Native American point of view, we call it Omatakiwasin. What does that mean? To all my relatives. So living planet, the rock people are the relatives, the plant people, I'm using Native American language, the animal people, and the humans. Okay, so it's peace with all levels of creation. Okay, the next one, and also peace with all the human cultures. The next one is what I call sacred ecology. It's beginning to understand that we are one with the living planet, and everything, then in that relationship, if you're one with it, then you are going to naturally take care of it like you should naturally take care of your body. Not that everybody does, but that's the idea. And then finally, peace with God. So those 13 make a oneness. The three in one come into metaphysically into one chad, which is oneness. So that's how I got those. And they're a way of life then. As you look at all 13 and you really are conscious of all 13, it naturally helps you evolve spiritually. Any,
beautiful.
Any questions about that, or?
No, I love it, because it's very down to earth, but it's also very enveloping, isn't it? It enfolds a lot of qualities. But the aim is to get some kind of alignment, you know, of between us and ourselves, you know, our own being, you know, and also alignment with others, instead of the battle, the fight, right. And. So often we see, you know, people fighting with each other, both, you know, physically, mentally, and emotionally. But also we fight with ourselves. You know, we want to eat a healthy diet, but we end up eating junk food, or we want to exercise, but we don't. You know, there's a lot of inner turmoil because we don't have the discipline to do this alignment you're talking about. And but if we can, you know, it's very. Very, very effective, I think, for not just us personally, but for our planet and where we are right now. I love the idea of service as well, because, you know, this is an integral part, isn't it, of getting beyond ourselves, right? We become so self-absorbed.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and it seems
it's
to me that's
true.
It's
getting beyond our ego, but it also is connecting with the hearts of other people, see, so you feel
yes.
The connection. There's two pieces there.
Right. So of all the paths that you've studied, Doctor, is there one that seems to be the one for you, or you just don't want to sort of give up everything for one, or is there something that resonates more than another at this time in your life?
Right, I understand what you're saying. Each path has given me a certain gift that is unique to that path. For Native American, we may talk about it as spiritual courage, which is, you know, physical and other levels of spiritual courage. Sundance, ego dance, it takes a certain amount of courage. So that's a gift. So each one has a certain gift to give. So I see them as that, let me say it a different way. All religions are holy lies. But they help us go to the truth. That's a paradox. And the truth is beyond all structure. the truth is only God. So if you follow all the different paths, they all ultimately take you to there is only God. Now, Ein Zolotto in Hebrew, but the point I'm making is they all can serve that purpose. For me, I was just how I am. I like to explore. And so that's how I think about it. Is there one? Not really. I kind of live in a complexity of all of them simultaneously.
Right.
And you said something really interesting about past, present, and future, which I haven't heard much, but it's absolutely true. I call it the eternal presence, where we are simultaneously past, present, and future happening. And I write about it in the book, but that includes it all. And all those understandings and wisdoms from the different ones, they all weave together. And so that's how I really experience it.
Yeah, I love that. We're coming to the end of the show. I want to tell people about next week's show. But then after that, would you give us some words of encouragement to go into this time? This is going out live on Holy Week, but if you listen to it later, some words of inspiration too. So be thinking about that, Dr. Cousins, and I'll tell folks about next week. Next week, Dr. Melanie Dean is going to join me. She's an author, an entrepreneur. She's a board member of Unity World Headquarters, and she's going to talk about a new book. It's called The Hidden Power of Emotions, which embraces both science and spirituality. It took her 10 years to put this together, but she feels like it elucidates a lot of understanding about how to live effectively in our everyday lives, but with an awareness of what's really going on, not to be hooked, but to be freed, liberated. So that should be a fascinating book to study. But right now, to end our show, Dr. Cousins, give us some words of inspiration. You've been doing that all during the show,
okay.
But just a few things.
Yeah, what I would say that the most important thing to me that has helped me through all of life is to know that there is only God, and that everything comes to us in life as a gift from God, and to make an effort to allow yourself to grow spiritually from those gifts, even if they aren't in a way that we understand them. So there's only God,
beautiful.
And all that's happening to us is a gift from God.
Right.
And
I love that.
That is the key to really taking you to higher and higher levels of life. Now, if people want to hear more from me, obviously you have my book, Into the Nothing, but I can be reached at drcousins.com. or treeoflife.mn.co. And those are ways people can go further into these teachings, because I'm available in a variety of ways.
Excellent. And I love those words
Good.
Of
so
advice.
I want to thank you for your excellent questions. Very
good. Thank you.
Very, very interesting. So thank you for that, because it makes for a really good interview.
Yes, well, thank you. And I'm glad we connected, because we had difficulty the first time. So it's wonderful we've connected today.
Right.
That's great. And and thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. And once again, a heartfelt thank you to Dr. Gabriel Cousins, not just for the show, but for a life of making connection to this one. It's been very valuable, and you're continuing to do that work, so we're grateful for that. Folks, thanks again.
And
go ahead.
I want to actually bless you for the good work that you're doing, that you may be, continue to be blessed in getting this message out to the world of this higher understanding. And I also bless all the audience.
There we go.
Be wise enough to listen to you.
Thank you. And here we are at the end of the show. Thanks once again. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.